And thank you for this tune, Sam. So many people ask me, what is that that starts both of your hours? And so Sam had given it to me, and I've posted it several times and sent it to people. It's so nice. It's so, I don't know. It's something how some music can really, I want to say entice you to listen, to open your mind and listen and think for yourself. I had one more clip on this subject, and it's number 6, I believe, there, Sam, and it's National Bugle Radio with Patrick Slattery, and it's pre-recorded, and he's proofreads his book that he's been working on for some time, and he just does a good job, but just also listen to what he has to say. You have that there, Sam?
Thank you. Could things have been any more unstable or volatile in early 1914 or 1939? That's a question mark. That's when those other two world wars started. Okay, I firmly believe the white majority population of the United States, along with normal non-whites who desire a healthy society run in the best interests of the population, have it within their means to promptly take back control of the country without violence. We have the numbers, we have the financial resources, and we provide the brain and muscle needed for society to function. All we as a people lack is an understanding of the reality we face. If, as Gilad Atzmon contends, the essence of Jewish power is the ability to prevent the discussion of Jewish power, then the ability to discuss Jewish power is the destruction of Jewish power. In order to discuss Jewish power in a way that will defeat it, we need powerful and correct narratives that will appeal to our people and show them the path forward. It is my hope that this book will make a meaningful contribution to that task. Patrick Slattery. All right, so yeah, this is one of the problems. Is like I keep writing the book, but things keep changing. Things keep changing. I can't write it fast enough to finish it. There's things change, and then I have to address the changes. Okay, so writing the zombie corpse. Oh gosh, not core, not the zombie core, corpse. Why we need white people. Why the world needs white people. Okay, so I had white nationalists. Why the world needs white people to take their countries back from Jewish supremacists. Chapter 1, and this should be introduction, not intro. Introduction. What am I trying to accomplish? No, what I am trying to accomplish. What I am trying to accomplish. In 1633, let's just see where I am in terms of this recording. Okay. In 1633, Galileo Galilei was shown the instruments of torture in order to stop him from discussing heliocentrism as the ordering principle of the universe, as it was known at the time. Today, we are likewise prohibited from discussing the ordering principle of our political power system, which is Jewish supremacism. Rather than the stretching rack, today's instruments of torture are social ostracization. Ostracization. Is that even a word? According to... Because you ostracize somebody. It should be a word. So I'm going to leave it in there and let Dave Gahari figure it out. Today's instruments of torture are social ostracization, loss of income, and loss of freedom. And yet, the study of political science in the 21st century without considering Jewish power is as absurd as the study of astronomy would be without placing the sun at the center of our solar system. The purpose of this book is not to reinvent the wheel. Professor Kevin MacDonald created a theoretical framework for understanding Jewish behavior, and Dr. David Duke has compiled a veritable encyclopedia of Jewish power. My intention is to make a contribution by offering some theoretical insights into Jewish power, as well as a few case studies looking at manifestations of it. Hopefully this will help in the development of policies and strategies for overcoming Jewish power and helping and establishing a society that provides justice and opportunity for all without sacrificing the interests of the founding stock of the United States and other traditionally Western countries. A secondary purpose of this book is to clarify my own views and positions. I have spent much of the past 10 years as a fixture on other people's live radio shows, engaging with hosts, fellow co-hosts, and listeners who call in. There are thousands of hours of these shows on which I am responding in real time to other people, and there may come a time where I will be confronted with a statement I made taken out of context or even left in context, but which does not represent my thinking.
Don't have to worry about Stormfront Archives.
So. I'm about to come up on our first break, and I'm gonna pre-announce the breaks as they come. But yeah, so part of the reason I'm doing this is to clarify my position. So because I'm sure that over those thousands of hours of shows that I said something that was like, oh my God, anti-Semitic or totally racist or something. All right, I'll be right back.
Okay. Was that the end of that, Sam? I guess. Okay. Oh, yeah. 6 minutes, about 6 minutes long. Right. Yeah, and there were some other things, but all the Stormfront archives had to be destroyed, wiped out, because some Jewish lawyer in New York contacted, I guess, Patrick and maybe Don, too. But at least there were two different ones, I think. One was for Johnny Cash's family, and he did, you know, they had a song by Tom Petty that Johnny Cash did in every show. But the thing was, it was never a problem. It was there for a very long time. So I just question, okay? We're supposed to question. And you're supposed to expose evil. Ephesians 5:11. Don't be a part of it. So, anywho, just shine in a light. And I think what we're going to do now is switch what I wanted to have for hour two is, I'm calling it The Matrix, The Real Author and Story. And there's been different ones, but just this last week, Tuesday, I think it was, which I don't even usually listen then, John B. Wells had Tom Althouse and his Scottish, I guess, clan name, Anderson, goes by either. And he's been through a lot of different things, and he actually wrote The Matrix, and they let Sophia Stewart, this black woman, take as if she had done it. But she's just part of their team. And in the movie, you may remember that the Oracle was a black woman played by Gloria Foster. And so she says, you know, Sophia says that she wrote it into the story. Well, you think about it. Who's more powerful? Don't you have to give over your story when they make a movie of it? You get rights to make it how you want. And so then she sued all the different characters with all the money, and has all these legal papers from a judge in Utah putting liens against her property and stuff. And they just allowed her to do this because they're blocking Tom Althouse. He has 16 other screenplays. And the real title is The Immortals. And it's a very good concept. And the Oracle in there is a white man, not a black woman. You see how they like to do those things. And in fact, that the Wachowski brothers mutilated themselves, had themselves mutilated, and are now sisters, and they're Jewish, and the Warner Brothers, and it was a different name, and And one of them went after the rest of them, too. But they're Jewish, and so they took it and have made, of course, lots of money off the franchise. And so she had said to Sophia, oh, yeah, she wants them to make another movie. She doesn't mind. And I was, this is the thing, I was believing her, and I think I've said it on here before, but V, or Anthony, in that had Red Pill Hardcore show here on RBN, I tuned in and heard Tom talking the one time, and the first time I heard it, I'm just like, oh, I'm not even going to listen. I know it's, you know, Sophia, so he must be false. But the Holy Spirit, Breath of Holiness, worked on me and said, so the next time he was on, he said, listen, that still small voice said, listen. And so I did, and a caller, a black fella from New York, called in and was basically saying what I had kind of just said before, how I felt, right? He goes, oh, no, this black woman wrote it, and you're taking it, and blah, blah. So my question was, when I called in, could they have stolen from both of you? And Tom said, that's a fair question. And he went on to describe what happened, and a fellow named Nicholas, Sophia's right-hand man, left and worked with Tom's side of it because they're so vehement. They killed two of his sons. He has one left, and he'll talk about that a little bit in some of this. But she laughed and said, kill the other one, okay? And nice people, you know, Hollywood in general. Bunch of Satanists. So if you want to start playing them, Sam, I'd appreciate it. We'll see if we can cover this hour.
Generally bad people. That when they concoct a plan to cause harm to someone, whether it's an individual or a group, they have to confess what they're going to do as part of some sort of a rule book they go by. Do you know of this at all? If you don't, we can go past
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. You're spot on, John. You're spot on. Okay. Yes, indeed. One of the reasons for it, too, that I've been told is to convince us that we've been rendered powerless. So when they put all my stuff in the first graphic, for example, right, he's supposed to say to me, we did this because we can, and you can't do anything about it because you're powerless.
Wow. I mean, what possible reason could there be for including all these little details, however obscure they may be, to completely obscure to the viewing public?
Well,
what do they get from doing that, you know?
Well, it's a great question, but consider this, John. It was in for a split second upside down, and who's going to recognize that? You won't recognize my high school. I will. But what are the chances of me actually going to see that split second upside down, unless someone from the story department tells me? Which is another one of the proofs that we have, is that how would I know that's all there? And so, handle me, Stuart, right? Stuart.
There we go. Say that again. You multipath a little bit. Just start that sentence.
Oh, sorry about that. Yeah, we may get interrupted on this one. But the one character that was supposed to handle me, Sophia Stewart, when she heard that I had been contacted and told that all that was inserted there, she blew a gasket. She lost it because she started saying the strategy was to turn around and say that I was on the inside, that I was on the inside. But they could not conceive that somebody from their ranks would let me know all that was there. It blew their whole cover. But that gentleman who told me thought that that would blow the lid. He said he wanted to remain anonymous, but he would contact me once we succeeded. We're still waiting to be contacted.
I don't know how anybody could possibly make up something like this. I just don't know how that'd be possible. I've said it already during the course of the program, but This is beyond the brilliance of any screenwriter that I've ever heard of, you know?
Well, that's the thing, John. They're trying to create a screenplay, not just from the stolen work, but from a story, a life story, where they're the puppeteers. So they're trying, they said they put me in my own screenplay. So they're trying to better the author, best him in his work, by putting him in his own story. That's how they explained it to me.
Oh, that's just, well, twisted freaks do twisted things. That's just what they do. That's who they are.
They wake up
in the morning. I guess. Wow. How pathetic in a way, you know, use all
that
power.
The thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Go on.
Well, the thing is, it can't be refuted with the evidence we have. I mean, anybody can go to the Matrix interrogation scene and freeze frame that shot and you'll see all the information there. Anybody can see my diploma online. It's like the diploma, everything else, and the name, the license I have, the birthday, it's all there. My fiance's birthday is on record, Motika Bernard. You know, it's right here, March 11th. It's on record. Anybody can look it up. And if you go to the Copyright Office, anybody can look up this entry, V as in Victor, 3429, D as in Diane, 101. V3429D101. If you look up that document number at the Copyright Office, we can't make this up. You're going to see Tom Hanks, The Immortals, Employee for Hire of Time Warner and HBO that did Game of Thrones. And it says The Immortals by Tom Hanks, Employee for Hire, ordered and commissioned by HBO and Warner Brothers to write The Immortals. They give him certificate of authorship and assignment. And they also have the date of execution, June 25th, 98. My letter of submission was June 25th, 93. And so they're giving it, it's three pages long. So 3 pages long entry for The Immortals is supposed to be the screenplay. But then they also have Wendy Wasserstein, who is the Heidi Chronicles writer on Broadway, a Jewish woman. The Immortals, created by Wendy Wasserstein, is a work for hire. The number is V3445D053. If you look up that document, V3445D053, you're going to see her at odds with Tom Hanks as also claiming to be the one that created, authored, and as a work for hire, The Immortals by HBO and Time Warner. They have both of them listed, and they're not in agreement. Which one are they going to claim actually wrote it? Hers is 2 pages long. Mine's 128 pages, John.
Did you really?
Wow. So the question becomes, what is your recourse for this? But again, we got a break coming up. That's the way it is in radio, but it's a short one. It's a short one.
No worries.
But listen up, everybody, to Gil Mazza's Daily Border Update. I know you catch L. Todd Wood during the first hour. But keep up with these border updates, because I'm telling you, the problem's not going away. We're just shifting our attention away from the border for just a second. But coming up here now, we're going to shift our...
Yeah, so they're going to a break. And if you get the next part ready there, Sam, you can hear in there that was a Jewish woman. And there's another one. And that says behind it. Like I said, they're abusing this. And wait till you hear... about the difference with the red pill and the blue pill, because that's very interesting, and how we all fell for using the red pill, because it's the wrong story, and and so of course it's the opposite meaning. So if you have that, go ahead, Sam.
Say, Thomas, I was wondering, have you ever wondered, do these movies that are made predict the future, or do they actually in some ways, or maybe in one way, create the future?
That is such a great, great question, John, because what's happened is it's turned into a situation where life is imitating art. And that's what I was told in my situation. They actually made the fake Oval Office, which is in underground in the Zion. You have a fake Oval Office. You've got the red pill, blue pill idea, which is now part of our culture. And all the idea of the Neuralink, which I had throughout the piece, is now given to Elon Musk. And the Neuralink was actually referred to in mine as Neural Enhancer. If you go to Universal Studios, their Star Trek series, the one that was about the darkness, they say Neural Enhancer. And then later in the episode, they say Neuralink. They're taking not only the images and ideas of the story, they're taking the tech out of the work. And many visionary writers come up with tech to suit the needs of the story, to feel those needs. And now they're taking that tech also and claiming it. They actually changed the law at the trademark office. And when my case was being thrown, they changed it to, it's no longer who creates it first and can prove it, they publish it first. It's who spikes it first at the trademark office. And that way they could give it to Elon.
Oh, there's got an appeal there. Got to be an appeal there somewhere. Somewhere. You know, I was just looking at a story. It's up on our news site, jellyfish.news. And it's about how Meta saying, well, with these visors you put on, these full immersion into a different reality ear and head, or ear, eye, and head pieces, that people can actually get stuck in this false reality.
Oh, right. It's amazing you said that, because when I pitched the Immortal story to Bonaventure, and he said it was revolutionary, I also pitched, he said, what else do you have? I said, the Dream Movie. It was the working title. In the Dream Movie, you get lost between reality and what's real and not. And in it, he actually falls at the end from the ledge, the window ledge, because he's lost between reality. When he wakes and he's able to face off the one technician, he thinks he still can fly, and he tries to fly in reality. They put that in Inception.
Well, I think you needed a better agent or somebody that actually works with Mossad. You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm thinking of.
That's the other side who made it very clear, is if I came over to their side and was a script doctor, I wouldn't get any credit for my work, but I'd be set up and I'd be celebrated throughout the industry, because they say basically, quote, everybody knows you wrote it. But that wouldn't serve the purpose of why I was creating it in the first place, with your brilliant question of what about the Inception in your journey? That was all about giving glory to God and making a better world through compassion and shared compassion. And that is not going to change in my core. And they know that. So why would I be called difficult for that belief? Wouldn't that be something good? But what's interesting, John, is that all these films seem, it's almost like they're forced to do it, like a monkey having to hold on to the banana. They have to put, many times, the good guy and girl doing the right thing. It kills them. They don't want to. But it's what audiences expect them to do, so they have to do it. So it's very interesting that that's how it runs out. One more thing. The blue pill, red pill, they reversed it. They reversed it. The red pill is based on the blood of the children and the immortals. And that is the only pill Neo is offered by Smith. He has to either take the pill and join the program, or he and his family will die. And yes, Neo has a family they cut out, which else he took out. That's what the little girl represents at the end. His daughter reunited with him at the end, no longer aged, pointing to the sun. So what you have is they kept the exact same ending, a huge argument on set that everybody said blow up the Matrix, because they lifted everything out of context, made up as they went along, as their attorneys say on tape. There's no working drafts. So they had my script in hand and the storyboard in hand. Paul Martin, one of the fight choreographers, made that clear to me. He saw my script on set, John. And so what happens was the actors had to make it up on set also. They weren't reading from a script. They were told what to do. And so that's why Morpheus and also Smith, the characters, what they're doing is they're talking very slow and deliberate because they don't have lines. They're told to add these things and improvise. So they slow down like the actor's nightmare and talk very deliberately because they don't know what the heck they're going to say next. But they're supposed to throw in a phrase in here that they are being coached to by the Wachowskis. And then they wrote the screenplay after. As implausible as it sounds, that's what their attorney said.
So when Smith's there with... Go on, but the red pill what? Correct.
The red pill is the only pill offered to Neo. See if this makes sense. It's not Alice in Wonderland, eat me, drink me. It's not the blue pill and red pill offered at the same time. Incidentally, the liquid mirrors are the security devices in the immortals at the train station scene. If you take the red pill, you can pass through the liquid mirrors. That's how Neo gets trapped between the worlds when he's cut from the program. Now follow the logic. Trinity can pull him through because she's still an anomaly that can transverse the program. So she pulls him through, distracting the guard. But the red pill is the only pill offered to Neo in the original work. But the Wachowskis thought it'd be cool to mix it into Alice in Wonderland, put in what they're familiar with as they try to lift the work and make it up as they go along. That's why the ghost is in, the train man from Ghost is there. Doesn't belong in it. Doesn't, just muddies it. The red pill is the only pill offered. Neo takes it or he and his family will die. He takes it, enters the program, then he's cut from the program. He joins Morpheus underground, is offered the blue pill, a bootleg pill, not based on the blood of the children, that has painful side effects that he can re-enter the program. That's how the red pill, blue pill. Now everybody says the red pill. The blue pill is the good pill. It's painful, but the only way back in. The red pill is the only pill the elite offer you, the Smith offers, because that's based on the blood of the children for the immortal program. If that makes sense, look how they got it all backwards. Yeah, that's why. But the image of Alice in Wonderland was cool, but they didn't care about audiences understanding it. So yes, to Sophia Stewart and the rest, we are going to make this. When we make it and we find a team that wants to do it, then you'll see how it originally ties together. Now keep in mind, real quick, Marvel Comics, DC, other groups are coming to me and saying, Paul Anderson from Cypherman was saying, let's do a blend, email after email, John, message after message that I can show you, where they're saying, let's do a blend. Why do you think they want to do a blend of the Immortals and Cypherman? Because they don't want audiences to see the matchups. Because the matchups means we had tribal issues that were all blocked by an attorney supplied who had a suspended license, who was the landlord of the honeypot wife, who was classmates of Warner Brothers attorneys. All art of war, all throwing it. And to make sure you're kept off balance, they murder your sons and let you know it in ways that are theatrical and also attached to Masons. So that's what's so amazing is they keep you from being able to process it, and they consider it good business. The biggest income you can make in our society, in this country, is ripping off intellectual property that you think has worth. Because you're only dealing with one individual, usually, right? Fresh from the nest. And then they figure this. This is how it's explained to me. If they fail and you go into court and beat them, it's a pittance for a settlement. They still made a huge profit. They call it good business.
Totally sick, man. I don't want to touch a heart nerve here, but what happened to your sons?
The one was killed X-File style. That was made known to me. He was killed in his van by a snowplow. But when you look at the picture, the passenger side's dented. How was he killed? How was he killed when just the passenger side's dented? But that was right after a phone call that my last surviving son, Aiden, who's 17 now, and I had with Sean Michael. And I'm saying the name on purpose because there's a tie-in to show you how sick they are. So what happens is he had talked to me because it was a hit-and-run put on me in Canada where I survived it. So he's on the phone. Sean's on the phone from Pennsylvania saying, Dad, please be safe. Please drive safe. If anything happens to you, Aiden and I will finish the work. We'll put the word and the story out that people can follow. And what happened was Aiden or Sean was murdered the next day, X-File style. My other son died a Masonic death. He had come to me like Sean had and started realizing things he was told were wrong and started to talk about these sessions he had had where he was programmed to think his dad was bad by the religious right. And so what happened was when Kirk Daniel told me, my other son, he was killed then in a lap pool on a military base on Osaka, Japan, killed in the shallows in the Masons. Apparently, here's how it works. If you are a traitor in the Masons, your vows say that you agree that you'll be disemboweled and die in the shallows a cable length from shore. So they killed him in the shallows. I never got to see either body. They were cremated.
I can't believe what I'm hearing. I can't believe you're able to speak the words.
Because I'm doing it in their memory, John. I'm going to finish this in their memory, and you bet you I'm going to finish this.
I get you. Gosh, what a life you have had. And it just keeps rolling here. Now, go ahead. Please, go ahead.
One of the things they're accusing me of now, they always have their talking points, right? They throw at you. And one of the things they're throwing now is why are you still alive? That's the accusation thrown at me now is why am I still alive? Can you imagine, John, surviving all this and then being accused that you're alive? Wow. Well, the reason I'm still alive is because people like yourself put the word out and the story out. And they will cut it and erase it and remove it. But with it out there, they no longer can really touch you. And plus that thing I told Disney, I said, if anything happens to my last surviving son, I will destroy the 16 other screenplays I have. Now, here's a interesting beauty to that. I have experienced and lived 16 other screenplays better than The Matrix, never released, never known. They will die with me, but I've had the experience with them. If they give name credit back, I will release them in theaters and have them made. If not, they will never touch that private world of those 16 films. I will be the one that will carry it to my grave and will be enriched by it, but will not give it to a world where the cabal controls and harms children, elderly, and others. It will not be part of the world. It's one thing they cannot have or control, but there is a device that they could get it from it, the Neuralink, the Neuroenhancer, which I came up with.
You know, this is so, it's so hard to wrap your head around.
It is.
You wonder if these things are true, but you know, Tom Petty in that Don't Come Around Here No More. I think Tom Petty, I just think this. I don't have any proof, but I do believe that he was wise to a lot of the things that were going on out there, because that don't come around here anymore. They've got somebody dressed up like Alice in Wonderland, and the next thing you know, she's on her back in the form of a kick, and there's a crowd around the table taking slices. It was just, it's just a little bit too creepy to be a novel music video. I mean,
in a bit, let me tell you some things from Men in the High Castle and The Good Place and let you see how far they go to put it in plain sight, as you said.
Which castle is that one more time?
Men in the High Castle. Philip K. Dick's novel.
Okay. All right. We'll be right back.
All right. Thank you. And I think we have our break coming up now. Sam's fixing it for me so everything will fit. And we'll be back on the other side.
Tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork raised the way nature intended.
Sure, we can get it all in. I think this is about 22 minutes, this last portion from this interview. Thank you, Sam. A thousand notions I have.
My son said, when he first heard that song, dang it, that's strong. It really is. Perfect Strangers, Deep Purple, good stuff. As we visit here with Thomas Althaus, well, I'm pretty sure they're going to remember your name, Thomas Althaus. Seriously, this is the most amazing story. I've never heard anything like this. I really haven't. Right. I mean, you're obviously one hell of a screenwriter. But,
well, thank you. I've got 16 more, John, and I'm hoping to give them to the world because I am so excited about what's in them as taking to the next level. And that's what the conversation with Disney that I had, the one on tape, where they're saying, how do we know you have more? And I said, what do you think I've been doing since 93? And they're like, we want to see them. And that whole thing transpired. But yeah, I hope that they do get released to the world because that would mean my last son is safe and we have name credit back. So, and we can make a difference for other writers.
Well, is it going to predict some future that's actually kind of nicer than what we're looking at now as our immediate future?
Well, if they give name credit back, we're onto the trail of compassion-driven work and ideas where Disney actually gets it. It's not about power. It's about compassion with the ability and the power to render great art, make a difference, lead the way. And this country amazing what's been doing, what they've been doing with the art recently too, is, if I may, they are, like you said, putting it in plain sight. The currency in Hollywood really is, and the cabal also, is being clever. If you want to move up the ranks, you have to seem clever. And if I can give you an example, what Steven Spielberg did. Remember the Philip K. Dick novels I told you about? Philip K. Dick died, right? And in his passing, he said he didn't want his work altered in any shape or form or fashion. And, of course, they don't do that. They twist it, turn it, and then say, we think he would approve. The man died saying he did not want his work altered. But Steven Spielberg took Minority Report, and Man in the High Castle was taken also. And look what they did. In Spielberg's work, Philip K. Dick's work, Minority Report, it's about pre-crime, okay? And Tom Cruise plays the character in the movie. So what they did, John, was they took the character's name, John Enerton, gave him the rank captain, first of all. Philip K. Dick did not give the rank captain to his character. That's added. Steven Spielberg gave the captain John Enerton because my dad was a captain in the Navy, Captain John. And what they also did was there was no boy, young son of Tom Cruise's character, Captain John Enerton, that had been murdered that causes him to commit pre-crime or be put away for pre-crime. But Steven Spielberg adds it. In 2002, in Minority Report, he adds that his son Sean is murdered and then he's going to be put in stasis on the pre-crime. Spielberg committed pre-crime. In 2002, what he did, as I learned from Hollywood people, he writes, alters the work to have Captain John Enerton, my dad's rank. He puts that Sean has been murdered, nothing about a son being murdered in Philip K. Dick's novel. But my son Sean was murdered after the film came out. And I was put away in a state, in a 302 to be put away for life. Because my son was murdered, they said I would be committing a crime. Spielberg committed pre-crime. But that's not all.
That's just weird.
So that's how far they want to be clever. Again, keep it in the frame of trying to be clever, right? And so what happens in Man in the High Castle? Philip K. Dick didn't have it about films. He had it about a book or writings. But remember the interrogation scene from Matrix, right? So if you're going to alter the work, what you're doing is you're using a deceased author to harm a living author. Use the deceased author's work, who said he didn't want it altered, to harm the living author. Let's see how far they go. In Matrix, you have 9/11 entered because I was writing about a false flag would be employed at my tenure being the face of Christian Coalition. In Man in the High Castle, they have the 9/11 entered. Also, there's a rap sheet. In their rap sheet, just as with Neo in the Matrix, they have a character named Oliver Deals. Oliver Deals has March 11th as his birthday, my fiance's birthday. The other character in the file is the finance minister. I'm sorry, the trade minister. His birthday is, or date of death, is December 7th. That's my son Kirk's birthday, who was murdered in the shallow pool. The other character in the file is Howard, a defector. His birthday is October 14th. That's my son Sean's birthday, October 14th. Also in the file is a character named Watanabe, and her birthday is May, or the entry of her date is May 23rd. Get this. May 23rd is not my mother's birthday. May 22nd is my mother's birthday. Remember we said about being clever, John? So May 22nd in Altoona, Pennsylvania, when my mom was born, was May 23rd in Okinawa, where the character's from. So it is my mother's birthday.
Also, wow.
Is there's more. Also, the assassin on the corner of his passport, July 2nd, my birthday. What's interesting about the character name Want to Be Added is that he's the director, written and directed in Animatrix for the Wachowskis, of the detective story that has a clock in it with my exact birthday and age on it, and also a antique shop graphic altered to be an antique house graphic with my name across the screen, Tom Park Althaus, backwards, done by Wannabe, who's the character name of the one representing my mother in that rap sheet file from Man in the High Castle. Now, when you open the file, the birthday of that character, because that's the date of the file entry of her, is my birthday, July 2nd again. That's not all. If you go to the tape burning where Smith's evidence is destroyed, right? There's a tape burning in where Juliana, the main character, throws the convicting evidence of a reel of tape into a burning fire pit barrel. The date on it is March 11th in German, March 11th. Ochika Ball, my fiance at the time, her birthday, who's also listed as Neo's birthday in Matrix. So let's recap real quick. Fiance's birthday, my birthday, my birthday again, my mom's birthday, my two sons that were murdered, their birthdays, all on the rap sheet dealing with four characters.
Amazing.
And it can't be debated because it's all right there. It's all right there. So they're actually arguing, John, that there's too much evidence. That's your go-to card now, besides saying, why am I still alive? They're saying he has too much evidence. So people are supposed to go, it's too much, and shut off. They're supposed to go, it's too much, and shut off. It's time for us to go, for all of us that are coming forward that have survived all this, and like yourself and your wife, to have the courage to bring these things forward and your own story. It's time for people to get it, use critical thinking, and go, there's no such thing as too much evidence. Let's turn that around and actually catch these guys. My dream is to use Neuralink, which I created, and you said about getting credit back, you know, like getting credit back for it. Yes, in the future, I think they're going to reverse the law where it's who created and published it first, who came up with it first. It'll go back to that. At that time, I would like to have a tribunal of some sort of some of these Hollywood thugs and cabal members where they're convicted by their own memories. Their memories are broadcasted through the Neuralink, and they're convicted by their own memories. Let them try to get out of that one.
This is really quite something, and I keep saying that, but I really don't know what to say. This is one of the most extraordinary stories I've ever heard. It had the same effect on me the first time that we spoke, but there's more information, actually, that you're putting out tonight, even more than last time. And it really is just stunning. I mean, if even 10% of this were true, let alone the whole thing, can I order something that's not just on, not on the menu, but it's on somebody else's menu on the other side of the restaurant? Have you given any thought to what happened to Anne Hesche, or Heche, they like to call her? It's German. If it's H-E-C-H-E, I think it is. That's Hesche. Did you happen to see her get up off the stretcher after she supposedly crashed her car to that person's house?
No, I didn't see that. Okay. I found it very suspicious, everything surrounding that. And there's also something to do with George Michael that would be very chilling. I don't know if your stomach is going to be able to handle it.
Well,
here you go. George Michael was killed on Christmas, right? On Christmas, they say his heart gave out. First of all, let's decode it. In Hollywood, if anyone in the cabal or Hollywood, or the agency, say your heart gave out, it means you're killed. It's a lame excuse. Your heart doesn't just give out. So George Michael, why was he killed? He was killed in 2016, if I'm not mistaken. You can check the date, make sure I got it right. But he was our main witness for the screenplay having been finished in 1993, because George Michael gave us permission to use his song, Praying for Time, for the end credits. It was submitted with the work. I sent you a graphic with Tom Hanks, Wendy Washington, in our original submission letter from James Boyd in Norfolk. And you'll see that his song was submitted in 1993 with the work. So he read the full script to give permission to it. He was the best witness to the work being completed in 1993 in full. And so what the Warner Brothers attorneys were trying to do was say nothing existed before 1996, because the title Matrix was never on a piece of paper until 1996. And so they're trying to say that nothing, there would be never any proof that the work was completed in 1993. George Michael was the prime witness that the work was completed in 1993, because he read it all and gave permission for Praying for Time, the best song for the end credits of the Immortals Matrix story. So they killed him on Christmas after the case was thrown to wrap up a loose end. He should never have died. And was a very nice man. Very gifted man.
Yes, he was. He was really quite something. You're right. It was 2016, Christmas 2016.
There you go. Why Christmas?
Yeah, really. Well,
that's what they do, too. You said about putting it in plain sight. They also pick holidays. My son, Sean, was killed on the Ides of March. Caesar's death.
Yeah.
Yeah. But isn't this something? How they didn't expect this to all come out. Spielberg's entries. It also shows how widespread this is. That copyright entry on the Immortals has 276 other subtitles on it. That's how they were going to steal it. after Tom Hanks and Wendy Wasserstein, they finally put it under the ownership and creation at the Copyright Office of the investment firms, the biggest investment firms of the world, from France and Netherlands. So they put it as they're the ones that create it. When, John, does investment firms create intellectual property blockbusters, let alone? But that's who is listed as the creator of the Immortals, is the biggest investment firms in the world. Suddenly got a bug for writing? But look at the deal. So therefore, with the subtitles, they create slots, the Copyright Office, and anybody, any studio since Bonaventura said it was revolutionary, bragging about it, even at a Bank of Albany that he had it, all these studios wanted a take on it to use up the story, as Joel Silver said. So what happens is, to share it, they put multiple titles, subtitles, and copyright the subtitles, not a body of work, the Immortals, under all these subtitles, and put it under, eventually, the names of the investment firms. Therefore, the investment firm give to any studio to steal, they make a profit by having them take it from them and investing from them to do it, and also feel safe to take it because the investment firms claim they created and have ownership of it.
So let me ask you this. If it came down to, you really would have difficulty in reclaiming what is yours by going through the legal process.
They made sure they provided an attorney, Tony Rankin of Maui, who had a suspended license since basically 1982 and didn't tell me that, who was classmates with Warner Brothers attorney Lyndon Burroughs and other attorneys. And he approached me, being the landlord of the honeypot wife that was supplied me. She introduces me to him, so he's soliciting me to handle the case, and claims he could put $100,000 in. He did everything under the sun to make sure that no material would ever go through, that he ran out the clocks on everything, didn't tell us about the suspended license, had a contract where if I fired him, I'd have to pay him everything, no longer on contingency. He also made sure that when I tried to fire him, he said he contacted Warner Brothers a half hour after he's fired, John, and said they could proceed to summary judgment without objection. You're proceeding to summary judgment without objection when we have all this evidence we've been talking about and more, then that's the only way you're going to get a summary judgment, if we're not entering any evidence. After half hour after he's fired, he allows his classmate to proceed to summary judgment without objection.
And there's no recourse for this. There's no recourse for this. You can't refile.
What happened was they had their pick of judge, Gary Klausner, appointed by who? George Bush and Pat Robertson. First appointee when Bush got to office with Pat Robertson's Law and Justice Center and Christian Coalition, the one I was supposed to head. And so he becomes in position, and it's a political appointment, and he's paying back Pat Robertson and Bush for the political appointment. Bush called Robertson's team the Dream Team. And so he gets that position. He's going to reward him. And he allowed them to throw the case. There were so many tribal issues. All of them were blocked and ruled with prejudice.
Which means you can't refile. Yeah.
That's how they set it up. Even though there's all these points. Now, here's what I want. Make the film. Name credit restored. Make the film. People can see all the matchups. Egg on Klausner's face. And what happens is, we can argue then for no statutes when it comes to studios and individual writers and their families. No statutes when corporations and studios can destroy lives, kill sons, take away jobs, make sure your life is totally off kilt, and then say you slept on your rights. Kate Chilton of Warner Brothers was the orchestrator of the theft from Warner Brothers. She became a Superior Court judge at the Three Mile Zone in Hollywood. But she was an associate from 1985 to 1987, an associate from 1987 to 1993, and suddenly becomes vice president and senior litigation counsel of Warner Brothers in 1993. Her entire career, John, was made off the theft of this work. Then, after the case is thrown, in 2017, she becomes director of content litigation at Netflix, so she can make sure that Joel Silver can do Altered Carbon, which is said to be the greatest film concept of all times, where the rich in the future have immortality, the poor is used as pawns, the exact premise of The Immortals, which he had all the paperwork, scripts, drafts, everything in discovery in our Throne case, where we got nothing from them. Keep in mind, again, they said they had nothing to give, and it's a moot point to ask for any discovery. Again, fraud. So we should be able to resurrect this. But then after 2020, after they deal with Sense8 and Altered Carbon and these others, she becomes a Superior Court judge. And when the elections were held, they suspended the elections and just appointed her. The California governor just made her, Governor Gavin Newsom, just put her in position. Stop the election. Stopped it. Froze it. And just said she's got the position to make sure this moneymaker would go on with a theft of the Matrix story.
Is that what actually happened? He just pulled the cord on that train? How does he have that kind of power? And nobody challenged it.
It's what happened. It's just what they did.
Well, there it is. They can't do that to you. Well, they've done it. Right.
There's so much fraud. We should be able to do this. We should be able to resurrect it easily. Yeah, on the basis of all that. Plus, there's a special thing. There's a clause in California, which they never let me enter. The supplied attorney never let me enter it. If you have suffered PTSD, there's no statute of limitations. There's no you're allowed to have it because you can't be able to argue your own case. So they don't want that known. So I do have a couple cards to play. I do. Catherine Chilton, there was a letter from her to Sophia Stewart where she was saying that Sophia Stewart would not receive the money promised her, $5 to $7 million, for handling Tom Wildhouse. That letter surfaced on Sophia Stewart's site, not showing my name, but she wanted to show the world that she was offered millions by Kate Chilton, the Warner Brothers. And so when we pointed it out, Kate Chilton immediately resigned and Sophia Stewart struck off her site. But when we went on the air talking about Kate Chilton resigning all of a sudden when she was supposed to be in place till 2029, she reinstated herself immediately. So she got the gold watch, went right back to work. It's a game they're playing. They call it a chess game. So Catherine Chilton is the one that actually is in charge of the tech being divvied out and the Wachowskis getting it. She was at my deposition. She was the one that was making calls to me saying I'd be going down. She's the one that also was handling Elon Musk.
Okay, folks. I think we're going to hold it there. We're not quite getting the last couple minutes, but that's all right. I have the links in the chat room, and they'll be in the description in the archive. So you can hear the whole thing if you want to, too. And it's very interesting, and there's more. He appears on Aquarius Rising Africa and at many other venues. And like I said, I heard about it here first on RBN. So you never know. But thank you for listening. I hope it's been a benefit to anyone and everyone, if possible. So I'll see you next week. Спасибо. До свидания. Счастья.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit RepublicBroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.